A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. After Jesus had been taken up into heaven, the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath's day journey away. When they entered the city, they went to the upper room where they were staying, Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. All these devoted themselves with one accord to prayer, together with some women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. The word of the Lord. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior.
The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name.
For he has looked upon his lowly servant. From this day all generations will call me blessed. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. He has mercy on those who fear him in every generation. He has shown the strength of his arm. He has scattered the proud in their conceit. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones. He has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has come to the help of his servant Israel, for he has remembered his promise of mercy, the promise he made to our fathers, to Abraham and his children forever.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
The angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming to her, he said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at what was said and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of David his father. And he will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." But Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have no relations with a man?" And the angel said to her in reply, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month for her who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible for God. Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
My brothers and sisters, it's good to be here this morning. And Father Patrick, thank you for allowing me to be here and to assist at Mass and to preach this morning. And it's good to be here. Today is a feast day of Our Lady, Our Lady of the Rosary. It's a wonderful feast day that's in our liturgical calendar. And you may have noticed, if you follow at home, perhaps in the Magnificat or some other daily Mass readings, we're using the alternative readings, which the Church has set up for today, which are focused on our Blessed Mother. So don't be confused about that. And I think it's helpful to, in order to understand why we have this feast of Our Lady of the Rosary, to look at a little bit of the history that led up to the Church proclaiming this day and this feast. This feast day, in honor of the Blessed Mother, was originally called Our Lady of Victory because it was on this day, October 7th in the year 1571, that the famous Battle of Lepanto was won by the Christian naval armada against a numerically superior navy of the Ottoman Empire. The Ottoman Empire in the east was threatening to conquer the nation states of Italy. These states, Naples, Genoa, Venice, Savoy, Sardinia, and the Papal States, all joined together and they were called the Holy League. And these Western nations combined their navies and their resources to sail and do battle against the Ottoman Navy. Pope Pius V, who helped fund this event, this battle, from the papal treasuries, ordered that the churches of Rome were to be open for prayer day and night, encouraging the faithful to petition the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary by the recitation of the Holy Rosary. Once Pope Pius learned of the victory of the Holy League Navy, he added a new feast day to the liturgical year in honor of our Blessed Mother, today, October 7th, and he entitled the Feast of Our Lady of Victory. Pope Pius's successor, Pope Gregory XIII, would later change the name of the feast, but keep the feast, and he entitled it Our Lady of the Rosary. So just a little history to understand how we come to this important feast day. And in our readings today, we hear both from the Gospel of Luke and in the Acts of the Apostles, two of the many momentous moments that our Blessed Mother had in her life. We hear of the Annunciation, that wonderful moment where the archangel Gabriel comes to Mary to announce to her God's plan of salvation and to ask her for her consent. Her willingness to become part of God's plan for the salvation of the world by becoming the mother of Jesus, Jesus, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, the Son of God. She learns that Jesus will be conceived in her virgin womb by the power of the Holy Spirit. So Blessed Mother Mary, a young virgin, teenaged woman, gives her free consent. She gives her fiat, "Let it be done to me according to your word." And as a result of God's plan for salvation, it now becomes real in the world. Jesus becomes incarnate in the Blessed Mother's womb, and now begins the great salvation of our world through His Son, Jesus, through the consent of our Blessed Mother. And so, Blessed Mary, who was conceived of all sin, all original sin, by her Immaculate Conception, says yes. And says yes to God's plan, even though she doesn't fully understand what that means. She doesn't really understand all the things that are going to take place, but she is obedient to God's word and willing to follow God's plan. Mary says yes, and the world is saved by and through her son, Jesus. And in the first reading from the Acts of the Apostles, we again see Mary, but now her role has changed a little bit. This reading recounts the events after the ascension. So Jesus has been crucified, he died, he was in the tomb for 3 days, and he rose on Easter Sunday. He rose from the dead. And for 50 days, he spent all that time teaching the apostles and the disciples about God's plan of salvation, revealing to them the depth and the wonders of Scripture so that they will become wonderful and good apostles and evangelists of his message. And so Jesus then ascends to the Father in heaven. And he leaves behind his blessed mother, the apostles, some women, and some brothers. And they're instructed to pray for the Holy Spirit. Mary stays with her new children and with her new family, the apostles, and particularly the apostle John, to continue to pray and support the infant church, the church that was preparing to burst forth upon the world to evangelize and tell the whole world of the message of Jesus risen from the dead. So what are we to take from these readings and from this wonderful feast day? Well, I think first of all, we are reminded that our Blessed Mother Mary is the mother of Jesus. And we are reminded by the words of Jesus on the cross, where he gave his mother to the Apostle John, that she is our mother as well. Mary is the mother of Jesus. She's the mother of the apostles. She's the mother of the church, and she is our mother and the mother of all who believe in Jesus, her son. And so we are to remember that Mary is our spiritual mother who loves us and cares for us. Second, we are reminded on this feast day of Mary's powerful intercession with her son, Jesus. Mary gave the gift of the rosary, an easy, simple, powerful instrument of prayer to all of her children. She gives it to her children, and she gives it to the church. This rosary, a gift from God given by his mother for our benefit. This gift of the rosary can enable us to pray even when we're dry spiritually, or when prayer is hard because of emotional or physical illness. The rosary is a gift which can heal us when we are sick and broken. And this rosary is a powerful spiritual weapon to help us overcome our own sins and to help us help others fight their sins by praying for them and help us overcome the power of Satan, which it can be present in our lives, in our homes, in our communities, in our nation, and in our world. Mary is the Queen of heaven and earth and will intercede for us, for our needs, with her Son Jesus, who is and always will be the King of the universe. And finally, just as the rosary was the powerful weapon to help attain the victory of the Holy League navies at the Battle of Lepanto in 1571, so too does our Blessed Mother seek to bring all of us to Jesus, her Son. She brings us to Jesus for his forgiveness, for his healing, and for our salvation. By praying the rosary, we join with our Blessed Mother in praising God, and we ask her intercession for ourselves and for others. Mary always wants to lead us to Jesus, her Son, so that we may be close to him always. We hear at the wedding feast of Cana, where Mary tells the servants to do whatever he tells you, do whatever Jesus tells you to do. And those were the last recorded words of our Blessed Mother in the New Testament. And Mary gives us that same message today. She tells us to do whatever Jesus is telling us to do. And we learn what Jesus is telling us to do by reading Scripture, by praying, by asking for the Holy Spirit to help us understand how we can better love and serve Jesus. So Mary tells us and asks us to be close to her and to be close to her Son. Mary was the first and the most perfect disciple of her Son, Jesus. She was meek, she was humble, she was open and obedient to the Holy Spirit. So perhaps at this Mass, we too may ask for those same virtues, that we will receive the virtues of meekness, the willingness to learn and to be taught, the meekness and the virtue of humility to serve others without thinking of ourselves, and have an accepting and obedient spirit to the teachings of Jesus Christ and his church. The Blessed Mother is Our Lady of Victory and is Our Lady of the Rosary. May we always value and treasure this wonderful gift of God, this gift given to us by Mary, his mother, the gift of the Rosary. May we always pray the Rosary with love and devotion and ask our Blessed Mother to intercede for us with Jesus. We are to ask Jesus through the intercession of his most Blessed Mother for the grace and the strength for victory over sin and selfishness in our own lives, in our families, and in our world. In the divine praises, we say, Blessed be the great Mother of God, Mary, most holy. And so on this wonderful day of the feast of Our Lady of Victory, Our Lady of the Rosary, we ask the great Mother of God to pray for us and to bring us to Jesus, her Son.